Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back in for another week. Another episode of the Nate Darling Show.
We're back.
What up?
This is Kareem's birthday episode, and that we are recording it on his birthday. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
Another year around the sun.
That's it.
And, of course, all of your Facebook friends know, because that's what Facebook is really good for.
That is true.
It's like the best thing about Facebook.
It's helpful. It really is. You know what it's not helpful for? When you get your memories on Facebook, and it goes back to a time when you were really sad.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, aw, I posted that? Yeah. What was wrong? I know it was sad. And I'll look back to ones like really early Facebook stuff from like 2007, 2008. Sometimes I'll see those. And it was so early. And if you remember, like the interface said, like your name is feeling or is whatever.
Right.
And so you look back at those now, and it looks like you're a mental patient writing those.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck am I talking about? It would be like if suddenly you just randomly dropped Facebook on Mars and said, here you go. Knock yourself out.
Yeah.
So like my crazy ex-girlfriend deleted my Facebook. So my Facebook is...
fresh as a daisy?
Like, it just goes back 6 years. So like right after she was gone. So I mean, awesome times after that.
Well, there you go.
But if you get any, if you guys, and anybody on the that's listening, sees any old pictures of me or like, cause they're out there.
Sure.
Or post with like where I...
Tag you.
Tag me, please. Cause like those are lost memories.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
I was doing a lot of drugs back then.
They'd be lost memories anyway. Anyway, we'll get into everything. Normally I go last on this, but I want to start because this week, in addition to a surprise trip to Reno on Saturday, it was Aftershock in Sacramento.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means free concert in our yard. And our house vibrates. Because here's a pro tip for you. Sound waves travel really well on the water.
Yeah.
And when you have a really loud heavy metal concert right next to the water, those sound waves travel right down the river.
No.
Like a banshee.
Really?
It's loud here.
No.
Very loud. Very loud.
Wow.
So we got out of, I woke up Saturday morning. Leslie said, "Hey, we're going to Reno," and I'm like, "Okay,
okay,
all right, we're going to Reno." Met up with her mom and one of her friends and her friend's wife, and you know, had a little overnight in Reno.
Where did you guys stay in Reno?
Silver Legacy.
Oh yeah,
Silver Legacy. They have all of my money.
Oh, do they have all your money?
All of my money. Oh. I got the card, and they fucking knew. Everywhere I went, they said, "Oh, here he is. Take his money."
Oh man!
At every machine, it was one of those weekends.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, whatever. If you go expecting to win, then you're expecting too much.
What did you like? Because Chris and I were in Reno recently.
Sure.
How did you like? Was it really smoky inside the?
You know, it's not bad. The Silver Legacy is so they call it the Row now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's Circus, Silver Legacy, El Dorado. And unless you're right next to somebody who's smoking, it's not too bad because they put in a lot of filtration. And it's not as good as the ones in Vegas. The hotels and the casinos in Vegas have gotten very good at this.
Yeah.
The Indian casinos around here don't care.
No.
Just suck it in, pal. And turned on the TV there. And, you know, around here, they're basically the only real negative ads that we've been seeing so far are for the U.S. House. It's Jeff Denham, who's the incumbent.
Right.
And Josh Harder.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Bay Area liberal Josh Harder.
Yeah, Bay Area liberal.
Never mind the fact that he grew up there and his parents live there
and his grandparents and his great grandparents.
So it's not it's negative.
Yeah,
but not super attacky.
Yeah, I mean it's just what you would expect.
Okay, if you go to Nevada, it's every single race is that turned up to 11.
Oh, I can believe it.
Nothing but attack ads.
Really?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's crazy. I was there for less than 24 hours, and I was already feeling stressed by it. I cannot imagine living in Nevada. I really can't. Having that for months on end. Because Nevada is one of those battleground states that could go either way.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of money trickling in there for those ads.
Not trickling. It's been poured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in those towns that can be like quite divided as far as liberals and
sure.
Because like you don't want to
become California, because then you won't be able to drive your truck onto whatever land you want and then shoot things for fun. You know, because you can't do that in California.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we came back on Sunday, and of course the concert's going on. And we decided to go see A Star Is Born.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been one that we both wanted to see. It's getting good reviews, and I will say this. The soundtrack is really, really, really good. Now, I personally prefer the Bradley Cooper stuff to the Lady Gaga stuff, because, well, you know, I like rock and roll. This is one of the Bradley Cooper's songs that you'll probably be hearing a lot of. Now, this is the third version of A Star Is Born. There were drag queens in this one, and I turned to my wife, I said, were the drag queens in the Judy Garland version in the 50s?
Yes.
Because then drag queens were just the gay people that you dragged out into the street and beat just for being gay.
Yeah.
But if there were dancers in there, they probably were.
So anyway, there were a large drag queen contingency. And Leslie's like, I recognized almost all of them from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Good, good.
So if you watch RuPaul's Drag Race, you'll be seeing some familiar faces.
That's awesome. Good for them.
You know what? Honest to God, I forgot I was watching Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga.
Really?
But they were both really good.
He sounds like what's his name from Stunt Devil Pilots? The lead singer.
Scott Weiland. A little bit.
Like it has that 90s rock feel. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Is that what he's a superstar from, or what's his story? Because he's not the star, right? He's not the one being born. It's her, right?
Yeah, it's her, but he's an established rock star.
Right, okay.
Who is, and you'll like this, Jason, an alcoholic and drug addict.
Yeah.
Which is an overreaching theme throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
And I had not seen any of the other versions of A Star Is Born. I did not know how the movie ended. Are you guys familiar with how A Star Is Born ends? Like all versions of it?
Somebody dies, I'm assuming.
It's, yeah. Spoiler alert, somebody dies.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not Lady Gaga.
Oh.
But how that is done is just... it ripped out my soul.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to watch it.
Seriously? If the purpose of art is to make you feel, this was art of the highest form. Because I will tell you this. The credits roll, and it's very dark in the theater. They make sure it's very dark in the theater. And I have not been to any movie that was not a Marvel movie where that many people sat through the credits. They did not sit through the credits because they were like, ooh, I want to see what the soundtrack is. They were sitting there because everybody was trying not to walk out of the theater bawling their eyes out.
That was Fences.
It was just the most emotional, heart-wrenching, oh, so well done. If Bradley Cooper does not win an Oscar for directing and for best actor, there's no justice in the world.
So you're saying that he's the 2010s Mel Gibson of the 90s? I mean, he's that good. I mean, that's
Mel Gibson never acted this
amazingly.
Yeah. I mean, this was absolutely insane. And this was the moment when Lady Gaga was able to do what Madonna couldn't, which is become a movie star. Now, granted, I mean, it's a role that's really, really a good fit for her, but she was really good. And not just because of the singing. She was really good in the role. So, get out and see it.
Yeah, we were talking about, I think we were talking about going to see it Sunday or next weekend. My girlfriend's going to Vegas tomorrow till Saturday, so.
Yeah, definitely go see it. And Leslie called me and said, I played the soundtrack on my way to work and on my way from work and cried both times.
Oh, wow.
I said, why did you do that to yourself? I mean, it's like fresh. Don't do that to yourself when it's fresh.
Oh, man.
I'm sticking to the, I'm sticking to these songs in the soundtrack. I'm not going into the one that's the final thing. And it's, anyway, go see A Star Is Born. You will not be sorry.
Man,
I mean, you will be, because I walked out of there and I'm like, I am so angry with Bradley Cooper for making me cry in public.
That's funny.
Oh my God. And then we went down to the new Yard House and had some apps and a beer.
Oh, that sounds like perfect way to cheer yourself up after.
Oh my God, cheese curds, deep fried mac and cheese, and some boneless buffalo wings.
That sounds like exactly what people like what you would eat after.
After a good cry.
Yeah,
I had a good cry.
Oh,
I had a good cry. So that was that was A Star Is Born, and I cannot recommend this movie highly enough. I don't know that I'll see it again. I probably will. The last time I had this sort of emotional reaction at a movie was when I saw Million Dollar Baby. I never want to see Million Dollar Baby again.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It also ripped out my heart and my soul like that. I can't go through Million Dollar Baby again.
Yeah. Fences did that with me, and I haven't watched it again.
Yeah. A Star Is Born. There's enough good. I mean, I'll just stop. I'll stop watching A Star Is Born at a certain point. I'll be like, well, this is great. This is great. She won the Grammy and they all lived happily ever after. That's the end of it. Kareem, how was your week? I know you had a birthday, been celebrating for a couple days now.
My week has been. My butt sore from all the driving I did for work.
Oh.
I went to San Jose on Wednesday, then I went to Redding on Thursday, and then I went back to Redding yesterday.
God's country.
Yes. And I went like deep in Redding yesterday. Yeah. I saw deer where I was at, and they didn't even run. Or one of them did, the other one didn't.
It's like, it's just this guy.
Yeah.
They're like, we have that one African-American here.
Yes. So I met Walter Mosley on Friday. For people who don't know, that's the guy who wrote The Devil in the Blue Dress.
Okay.
Denzel Washington and Mouse, and I can't think of his name. But he was Mouse in the movie, and everybody loved him. Don Cheadle. Great movie. So I met him on Friday. Saturday, I did didn't go to Jason's daughter's birthday party.
Me either. I went to Reno. Although there were apparently over 40 people in your house, and your house is way too small for that.
For 40 people, yeah.
Now, I mean, if it would have been 10 degrees cooler, 5 degrees cooler outside, it would have been awesome because like everybody was in the house.
Right.
But at the same time, that being said, I would say for that many people, like people weren't like, if people were uncomfortable, they would have just come and left, you know, because it wasn't like you had to stay.
No.
Everybody knew it was just like, it's a kid's party, drop on by, hang out, and leave whenever you want. I mean, people were there for a good, you know, 2 hours, you know, so it wasn't like it was hellacious, yeah. You know.
I mean, I felt bad for a moment, and then I'm like, there's going to be a ton of people there.
No, don't even.
There's going to be a ton of people there. I'll see CJ for 3 seconds, and yeah. That'll be it.
Oh, you probably seen it for longer than I did.
Yeah. So I had something to do Saturday morning. Now I can't remember what it was, but I did have something to do. And then I had to take pictures for some. Oh, I was supposed to go take pictures of somebody Saturday, and then his kid had to work, so we decided to put it off. And then, so me and my girlfriend went and had breakfast, and then I had to do pictures actually over in your neighborhood at the Classy Hippie, for an event, that evening. And I was like, okay, I got to take a nap or relax at some point during the day. And that just happened. The time of the party was the time I was like, okay, I got to do something to keep myself together.
Well, you're not as young as you used to be.
Not as young as I used to be. Definitely that. And then, so the event at the Classy Hippie was an art event. It was great. There were a bunch of artists on the street, doing paintings. And then it turns out there were a lot of people that came into the event that were artists. There was one girl, there were, you know, of course, people selling jewelry.
Right.
There were people doing art. And then there were, a girl that did like a small paint and sip in there. Met this couple that does, vegan food. They, if you want to lose weight, they're the Joneses on, Instagram. But they'll do like a meal plan for you. They'll do meals, whether you want breakfast, lunch, or dinner for the week. They had some, jackfruit tacos. Delicious.
Mm.
That's a vegan taco.
Yeah, jackfruit is one of those things that we stopped at Whole Foods and they had in the refrigerated section. It's like barbecue jackfruit, and I'm like, oh, okay.
It tastes better than meat.
Well, I don't know about that.
I'm telling you, it did because I had.
I don't know about your meat. My meat's tasty.
So we had three tacos. I got three tacos. So I got one jackfruit taco thinking, I don't know who is vegan.
Sure. I know this shit's for me, man.
Yeah. And I got two chicken tacos. I made the mistake of eating the jackfruit taco first.
Oh, and then you didn't want the chicken.
And then I didn't want the chicken.
Like, get out of here, you fucking birds.
And the chicken tacos were good, but the jackfruit taco was amazing.
There you go. And then you did a little indoor skydiving.
And then, yeah, I did indoor skydiving. Oh, my Steelers beat the Bengals on Sunday. And then I did some indoor skydiving yesterday in Roseville.
Which is better than going to Lodi because that's where people plunge to their deaths.
Yes, yes.
Wow. We're not sure what happened on this one.
Yeah, so I did iFly. That's what it's called.
Yeah, it's a chain. They're in a bunch of... First place I ever saw that was down in Southern California at Universal City Walk.
Yeah, somebody else told me that today too.
That was the first place I see it, but they're a chain that's all over the place, like, you know, like Top Golf and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So yeah, it was great. You do like a minute session, and then they actually so we did two 2-minute sessions, and then we did the virtual reality, which is like the you can jump out over the Swiss Alps, Dubai, Hawaii, or Southern Cal, and then I did the wingsuit through. The Swiss Alps. That was cool.
Nice.
And then they have this high fly thing that you can do where they actually put, I guess, you go like to like the top and
they turn the fan on high.
They turn the fan on high, yeah. But I was like, I wanted to see how it was before I decided to try that. Now I wish I had did it. But it was great. I brought four more sessions, so I'll be back probably in the next couple of weeks.
Nice.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Nice. Jason, I know most of your week would be your daughter's birthday party.
Yeah. So my in-laws arrived last Saturday, not the Saturday, we just like, so, when would that have been?
Like 10 days ago.
Right. And my in-laws being at the house is awesome. they're really great. I wish we had more room for them and they didn't have to sleep on like an air mattress in our living room.
You know, a good son-in-law would let them have your bed and you'd sleep on the air mattress.
Yeah, you're right. But considering that my wife would not be moving to the sleep and then the mattress, I might as well just take up that space.
So it would just be her and her parents in the family bed?
Yeah, in the family bed. And that's, you know, so.
That would be a little odd.
That'd be a little odd.
But think of all the Xbox you could play.
I know, man. And I just got Forza 4, too. Forza 4 just came out, like, 2 weeks ago, and they've already had, like, one full set of seasons, so I haven't been able to play, like, anyhow, regardless of that. It was amazing having them there because, like, everything, like, that just is all the yard stuff, like, stained our fence, like, just was, did not relax one day while he was at the house, I don't think. Spent a lot of time with his granddaughter. I think I changed maybe 5-6 diapers this whole week. I know my wife probably didn't change any.
That seems like a lot to me.
No. That's like, you can have 5 or 6 in a day. Like, yeah. Yeah. Anyhow.
Sounds great.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. Yeah. So dinner was like, her mom made dinner every night. It was just really great, and it was like almost like a vacation in a way. Like I was able to sleep in like every day, like until like 6:30.
Ooh,
I know. Except for the days where I woke up at like 4 or 5 and couldn't get back to sleep. That's just every night though, almost. So that was what like my last week at, you know, 10 days has been like a lot of time. So yeah, but they're leaving tonight, and they'll be missed. It'll be nice to have the house, like the house back, but at the same time, they are like the most amazing guests you can have. Like, just, and I'm so lucky that I got them for in-laws, for his parents. So there's that. CJ's party was Saturday, and every time we have a party, I remember specifically during the wedding, but like even like these parties, these milestones for our daughter. How not only how quick time goes, but also how quickly this special event that you've been planning and thinking of and getting ready for and preparing for, how quickly it's gone. And it's just like a hurricane afterwards.
Sure.
And there's still that, then there's some of that sadness that it's gone by so quickly, like a relief that it's over. But I don't know. It's just like there's like a small little melancholy after these events, a little bit. CJ was amazing. Like, seeing Happy Birthday Tour, right? Like, we had like 40 people in the house, and we have 1,000-square-foot house.
Yeah.
And like, they were all in the living room, but we have a very open floor plan too. Like,
sure.
and like, everything is pushed against the walls. So there's a huge,
it sounds like a fire code violation.
No, it wasn't. It's been rated for 55 people. Occupancy at any one time, so we were definitely within.
Well, that was when it was a black neighborhood, Jason.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right.
This was before the gentrification.
Yeah, it's actually 25 now. we already killed some white people.
I should have called the police on you,
right? We have lots of people calling the police on black people.
Yeah,
for no reason.
Oh my God. Yeah, we have a lot of those. I'm almost done. So anyhow, so. But singing Happy Birthday to her, like coming out with the cake and singing Happy Birthday to her, and seeing her face when she saw that I was carrying the cake and I was walking towards her and only her, and everybody was looking at her, like, and just like the wish she could see on her face and her recognition, and like really, I think, realize that this was all about her today. Like, I almost started crying as I was walking.
She'll never forget her 14th birthday party.
Not at all.
Yeah. So,
she's 2, by the way.
I know.
The people listening.
Yeah.
I'm just joking.
She's only 2. Yeah. She's 22 now. it was just really neat, to see that special look, like, see that look in her eye where she was just like surprised and like also like excited and, like, as I was taking the cake away to go cut it up, she stuck her finger out and swiped the cake to take some frosting off her finger. It was the nice. Cutest thing. It was just, she's adorable and amazing. So, yeah. That was,
Well, that's really exciting, but not as exciting as a toddler's birthday party in Texas. Where four men are dead and another has serious injuries after a shooting at a toddler's birthday party in Taft, Texas. The Texas Rangers, the cops, not the baseball team, are now investigating what led to the shooting at the one-year-old party.
Oh, somebody might have found out that the baby wasn't his.
Sheriff's Department spokesman Sergeant Nathan Brandley says two families were involved in an argument at the party that escalated into gunfire. He also says there are a lot of witnesses who saw everything happen, but they're still trying to piece everything together. The authorities are still working to process warrants for the suspects involved, and until then, none of the names are being released. The names of the men killed and the person injured have not been made public at this time. God bless Texas. Yeah, he did.
somebody found out that the baby wasn't his. They've been telling child support for this kid for a year. God damn it. And the other daddy's here.
something was going on. But anyway. So Donald Trump was interviewed on 60 Minutes on Sunday.
Oh, fuck, man.
He's the president, Jason. Come on. And, there were a little bit of difference in how different morning shows sort of perceived how that interview went. Mm. Let's start, for instance, with Morning Joe.
I wonder how they're going to feel.
How do you think Morning Joe rated that?
What did you think about the president last night?
Seems like a baby.
It's a baby.
Big baby.
Not a baby.
And really, really ill-equipped and unfit to lead this country.
More than one or two references about the emperor not having any clothes, John Heilman, parading around.
But he doesn't realize
like
it.
A naked
doesn't
baby.
The emperor
a clothed-free baby. That's sort of how babies are, right? They generally don't have much in the way of clothing.
Yeah.
Baby. So what did you think of the president? What should they go on?
I thought that, you know, there was nothing in it that would not enrage all the people who were already enraged by him. And,
What about being a journalist? Talk about the president's level of preparation for the interview. How equipped does the president appear to be 19, 20 months in to be president of the United States? Just objectively, based on his answer.
There was no way in which anything.
Let's not grade him on a scale. We're just going to do this straight up. They're not going to score it like they do at Harvard, where everybody gets an A. This is University of Alabama graduation. You don't do well. You're back in Piggly Wiggly in Demopolis.
Right.
How did you do?
I thought on the question of how well he seemed to understand the world in all of its dimensions and complexity, I would grade him. In the D range. And I think that right now, when you're looking at the question that everyone's the burning question right now for a lot of people as a journalist is, how's the president going to react on the question of the Saudis, right? Mm-hmm. And that is where this I'm not a baby thing came up. And it's like, I'm a man of the world. Of course I understand that bad things happen. But what he did not demonstrate in that moment, and I think that's the thing that people are looking to right now, is for moral leadership on that question. And that was utterly absent in terms of how he discussed that issue. To me, that was there are a variety of things to be concerned about in the interview, and there are a lot of things that you could criticize him for, but that's the burning issue of our moment. And on that issue, I thought he demonstrated neither an enormous kind of capacity with the facts, but also not the proper level of outrage over the thing that seems to have happened. But,
so, John Podoritz, Nixon, Frost, or Stahl?
I'm not a baby.
I think it was a very important interview because it was.
I don't know who this fellow is. But he's wearing a bright blue sweater that it looks like someone knit him. No tie. He's this middle-aged fella, bald, with a bright blue sweater. Anyway, went on from there. So exactly how you would expect. Meanwhile, over on Fox and Friends, they had a little different take on it.
very much for joining us on this very busy Monday. If you're watching 60 Minutes last night, you saw Donald Trump's first interview since he became president of the United States. It was they aired about 30 minutes. It was contentious. It was back and forth. For instance, it started with video of the hurricane that devastated parts of the panhandle of Florida. And the first question, it wasn't about federal response. It wasn't about emergency preparedness. It was about global climate change.
Climate change. And then she asked him about Jamal Khashoggi, the Saudi Arabian, the guy that was killed in Turkey, the Saudi Arabian journalist. And she asked about North Korea. She said, what is your biggest mistake? He said, I should have terminated NAFTA, that deal earlier. Talked about the border. Lots of good things.
It did. And so here is here's how we start. We start talking about climate change.
Lots of good things. Lots of good things.
I'm not a baby. What fucking president says that in any interview?
Okay, what grown man says that?
I'm not a baby.
I'm not a baby.
And I'm the president and you aren't.
What's the other one? Yeah, look, I'm the president and you aren't. Okay. And I'm on 60 Minutes and you aren't.
I'm the president and you aren't.
Such an asshole. He's I try not to be political with this whole thing, but he's such a dick. He is such a fucking dick.
That's just what we need.
Honestly, and that's the thing. His supporters, for his supporters, they're like, that's exactly what we need here.
Yeah, fuck those 60 million liberals, those fucking libtards. Come on now.
You know what? It doesn't matter because we won.
Right.
Right. You know, listen, Mary, listen, when I was hanging epitaphs of Obama, you know, Osama Obama, when I was hanging epitaphs of him on fire and stuff like that, that was just all in good fun, you know? I didn't really mean it. And, you know,
it doesn't matter how I treated her because we won.
Yeah.
I want to know this. We're a podcast that I do out of, we do out of an office in my house. Used to do it out of a living room. And I do all the research for this. Just me. I mean, you guys weigh in on all the stuff and you read the stuff that I find and we look at it. How is it that the three of us have a better grasp on the news stories of the day than three people who are literally paid to sit on a couch and read the news every day on a national cable channel? And they have a full staff of producers and reporters.
Okay. What you just did. Was you just preempt or you just
answered your own question?
No. My rant is about that.
Oh, we're going to do, I don't have that scheduled, but we'll have to get to that then. We'll have to get to that.
Yeah. And it's not just them.
No. And, I mean, the whole Morning Joe thing was a mess too.
Yeah. No. I'm saying I'm finding that everything that I'm watching nationally, nobody knows any fucking background on anything that they're talking about.
That tends to be a thing. And their answer to you will be, we don't have time. Everything is happening in the minute. We go. Everything is new. I mean, and that's kind of how the Trump administration sort of runs everything is basically they say something, you get really outraged, completely miss them doing something underhanded on the backside. And then when you start to go, hey, what was that? They go, we're putting kids in cages.
But no, they don't have any context for any, like how anything actually works in the world.
Sure.
No matter what you bring up. So, I was watching The View and they were talking about Elizabeth Warren and
that whole thing. Oh my God.
But when Whoopi tried to explain to them, okay, here's a piece of paper that says that was back from like the 1800s that actually says that her I think it was her great grandmother actually was like 1/18th of whatever.
Sure.
DNA does not. So DNA tests don't tell the story of how people got to where we are now.
No, not at all.
So when you say, well, the DNA test says this, well, fuck, there are a ton of people that thought that they were Irish or German or English, and they took a DNA test and found out they weren't.
Right.
Nobody's trying to make them out to be liars. This was the family this was their family history up until they took that DNA test.
Sure.
Nobody's going back to them like, oh, you just made that up out of your ass. You just pulled that out of your ass. No, that was their family history up until that point.
Mm-hmm.
This was her family history up until, well, I guess it's still valid because it did. And the fucking Cherokee Nation who wanted to disclaim her. How the fuck are you going to disclaim? Like, you don't have any credibility because you just kicked out all of the black people, the ancestors of all the black people who came over on a Trail of Tears with you in the last 5 years because you wanted to keep your fucking casino money. So
when money plays into stuff, bad things happen.
Right. But the fucking people that were talking about it and who were trying to overtalk Whoopi about what she was trying to explain to them didn't have that background or information about those things.
Right.
And so I'm finding it across the board. Even from my morning sports people to this is that you like stop talking about shit and you don't have any background on it. Like you don't have enough background on it to actually be forming an opinion.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they can go to, it's not like there's not like an expert, of like some type of history that they could go to from a respected institution. You know,
yeah.
They can't. Well, I mean, they can't go to it because, you know, they can't give out real information. Right. They can't have people learning something because they wouldn't have anything to talk about or make polarizing.
Here's what happens. Everything is looking forward.
Yeah.
Everything is looking forward. What do we have next? Where are we going next? What's happening next? What are we doing tomorrow? What's happening right now? And there's no one in that organization who's taking the time to go, hey. What about this? And you see it sometimes in newspapers. Newspapers do a little bit of that. TV does not lend itself well to that.
No.
So the idea that and they're like, oh, new day. And they just sort of move forward. By the way, since you mentioned sports, his name is Joe Tessitore. And Joe Tessitore does Monday Night Football on ESPN. And Joe Tessitore spent the entire second half of that game this past Monday night with Aaron Rodgers' balls in his mouth. And I don't know how Aaron pulled off that comeback with Joe Tessitore gargling his nutsack the whole time. He somehow managed to do it. At one point, this is what this motherfucker said. He says,
can I say it like as if I had Aaron Rodgers' balls in my mouth?
You can do whatever you like.
All right, okay.
So he says he's 1 for 6 in the red zone. Come on, Aaron. It's time to punch one in. And I'm like, okay, I have no problem with you saying Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football. None.
Yeah.
None. I have no problem with that. There will be people that will argue with you, but okay. But the idea that you are literally openly rooting for him to make a comeback, not saying, oh, he's done this before.
Yeah.
Openly fucking rooting for him and his sidekick. His name escapes me now. It's a stupid name. It escapes me right now.
But, just because he's fondling my balls next to him. It's all right.
But the whole fucking, I'm like, are you fucking serious?
That's how I feel about all of the former players on ESPN and FX who are trying to get Le'Veon Bell his new contract.
Well, yeah. But here's the thing. You can say, here's the thing with Le'Veon Bell, you can look and go, hey man, he's performed at this level, he wants his money so he doesn't end up getting hurt like Earl Thomas. You can go ahead and make that argument all day. That is not the same as openly rooting for a comeback from a player while you're calling the game. And let me just say, this isn't Green Bay Packers radio.
That's what
this
I was about to ask.
Fucking Monday Night Football on ESP fucking N.
No.
Which, and it's not even like it's like a playoff game or something where it's like
they're
high
playing
stakes.
The 1-4 Niners the week before a bye.
Yeah.
The week before a bye.
Yeah.
Joe Tessitore, come gargle my balls.
Do you really want that?
I want to see him try. guy. Anyway, that was a brief aside. Meanwhile,
that was just a brief aside.
Brief aside. Meanwhile, speaking of asides, the president of the United States had a rally because he loves rallies. This one was in Ohio, which, as far as I remember, not part of the Confederacy.
Yeah, no.
Ohio in the North. So keep that in mind as you listen to this nonsense.
Abraham Lincoln developed a phobia. He couldn't beat Robert E. Lee. He was going crazy. I don't know if you know this story, but Robert E. Lee was winning battle after battle after battle, and Abraham Lincoln came home. He said, I can't beat Robert E. Lee. And he had all of these generals. They looked great. They were the top of their class at West Point. They were the greatest people. There's only one problem. They didn't know how the hell to win. They didn't know how to fight. They didn't know how. And one day, it was looking really bad.
The way he tells a story, just the inflect, that's not what his voice sounds like when he's talking. Then one day, not a lot of people know that, you don't, may not know the story. Just listen to the tone of his voice. I have to imagine this is the type of bullshit. Now, I'm going to assume that he actually read bedtime stories to his kids.
Oh, come on now.
That this come is what it would now. Sound like.
And Lincoln just said, you hardly knew his name. And they said, don't take him. He's got a drinking problem. And Lincoln said, I don't care what problem he has. You guys aren't winning. And his name was Grant, General Grant.
All right. Good, good, good.
And he went in and he knocked the hell out of everyone. And you know the story. They said to Lincoln, you can't use him anymore. He's an alcoholic. And Lincoln said, I don't care if he's an alcoholic, frankly. Give me 6 or 7 more just like him. He started to win. Grant really did. He had a serious problem, a serious drinking problem. But man, was he a good general. And he's finally being recognized as a great general. But Lincoln had...
Hold on.
He was the fucking president, you dumb...
Hold on. Ulysses S. Grant is finally being recognized... as a great general. Okay, I had history in school.
Yeah.
Here's what I learned. Ulysses S. Grant was the commander of the Union Army and led the Union Army to victory in the Civil War. That's what I learned.
That's what I learned.
That's what I learned in history class.
That's
what I learned also. So I don't know where this new thing he's... I mean, did someone just... I don't know if someone just told him...
Somebody
just told him all this whole story like last week.
Yeah. So and like he's getting most of it wrong. Like it was probably an anecdote to kind of show that like, listen, like people can have flaws, and still be great at their job.
He's still
like,
mixing up his Brett Kavanaugh stuff.
Yeah.
Listen.
Oh my God.
There's more.
But
almost developed a phobia because he was having a hard time with
almost. Didn't he say that he had
fighter,
a phobia?
A great general, Robert uh-huh. Lee. But Grant figured it out, and Grant is a great general, and Grant came from right here. Ulysses S. Grant.
Almost got his name right. Almost. Almost got it right. 4,000 people showed up for that. The first line that we missed was, so Robert E. Lee was a great general, and Abraham Lincoln developed a phobia. He couldn't beat Robert E. Lee.
Does he even know what a phobia is?
No. No, I can't imagine he does. I mean, maybe. Maybe someone told him.
Well, you couldn't say feared.
He's a scared.
He was scared.
Well, the one thing he can't do, you can't insult Lincoln. This is about as close as I've ever heard anybody to insulting Lincoln.
Well, and, like, the crowd was kind of, like, not necessarily, like, I don't know if the crowd was for a bunch of people that were Confederates, so they didn't like it, but, like, I mean, like, when they said Grant the first time, before he said that he was an alcoholic, like, 20 times, and, like, just harped on that, they were really with him when he talked about Grant.
Right.
And then when he, like, But then he didn't even refer to Grant as a president either. Like, what the fuck was that? Like, what the fuck was that? Like, you're talking about how, like,
he doesn't know that he was a president.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, whoever told him the story left out that part.
Well, yeah, I didn't get to
that.
Well,
no, because he probably thought that was just idiot proof. Like, you're the president. Like, you should have read the list of all the other presidents and known. Oh, man.
All right.
Fuck
so,
this dude.
Yeah. Saturday Night Live with Seth Meyers. You guys see any of that?
I saw some of it. I didn't get a chance to watch all of it.
There was Alec Baldwin was in the cold open because they, of course, they did a Kanye sketch.
Oh, yeah.
Is it okay to make fun of Kanye? He's clearly mentally ill.
Fuck him. Yes.
Okay. So I throw it out there.
I'm sure that.
I mean, he's in Uganda now. He went to Uganda.
Okay.
He's gonna come back with a whole different act.
Oh no, he would.
I want to. What I want him to do? I want him to come back with the Idi Amin accent.
Oh no, he wants to create a Wakanda in a Jurassic Park in Uganda.
Well, sure, that makes sense.
That's what he said today.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Well, I mean, I can't argue with that logic because it's not logical. No. So Alec Baldwin.
If you ever see me tap dance like that for anybody, I want you to punch me in the nuts.
Will do.
You too, Jason. That's you're included in that. I want you to punch me dead in the nuts. If you ever see me tap dance like that for anybody, black or white, I want you to punch me square in the balls.
All right. I'm going to just follow him around from here on out for the rest of his life. I'm just like,
as hard as you can.
40 years from now, I just punch him right in the nuts. He's, right like, nuts. He's like, what the fuck? I'm like, you were just tapping.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Black or white.
That's right.
Oh, man.
So Alec Baldwin had a show on ABC Sunday night at 10. Did you watch?
No, I didn't even know it was on until I think till after the fact.
Yeah. That's the best part. Nobody else watched either.
Oh, that's too bad.
It got off to an inauspicious start. According to Nielsen via Entertainment Weekly, the premiere brought in 2.2 million total viewers with a rating of 0.4 in the advertiser coveted 18 to 49 demographic. That number was the lowest in all of network TV Sunday night in the demo, and that includes the CW.
Did they even tell anybody that the show was coming on?
Well, I don't think that many people watch ESPN or watch ABC. I saw one promo for it. I saw one promo for it, and I'm like, oh, maybe I should check that out. And then I didn't. The premiere edition of the talk show featured Robert De Niro and Taraji P. Henson in extended conversations. Baldwin hosts a similarly styled podcast on NPR called Here's the Thing, which has been a hit, but the TV version struggled out of the gate on Sunday night. Baldwin was in the news Monday for a remark in which he stated, quote, in an orderly and formal way and lawful way, we need to overthrow the government of the United States under Donald Trump. A few commentators covered the overthrow the government portion of the comment and accused Baldwin of calling for a coup. I wonder which one of those covered that. Let me.
It's probably MSNBC.
It's probably them. Oh, it was Fox and Friends.
No.
Oh yeah, Fox and Friends. Yeah, there it is.
Damn it.
Let's
Fox and bastion Friends. of truth
and nonsense. Oh. Look, they got to fill a lot of time, and they're not very smart.
Yeah. I'm about as smart as their demographic.
Oh, well, I'm getting mixed up here. Hold on. I've got... So, pull back the curtain for a second. I have two microphones in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am testing a new microphone out for something that we can't talk about yet, but hopefully we will be able to talk about in a few months.
Mm.
And I'm just trying to see, is this new microphone acceptable?
Mm.
I mean, does it compare favorably with this microphone?
Oh, I can notice right away.
You notice...
Vladimir is...
Oh, I'm going to turn that down. So there's this microphone, and then there's this microphone.
Yeah, that was clear.
Now, they sound different. They sound different, and I don't... Ooh. Turn up the processing a little bit. This microphone that I'm talking into now requires a little bit more boost on it because it has a lower signal coming out of it.
Mm.
This one doesn't require as much of a boost.
Mm.
But this microphone sounds fine, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This microphone sounds fine.
Mm-hmm.
This microphone sounds fine.
Yeah.
They sound different.
Mm-hmm.
So this one's perfectly pleasing.
Perfectly pleasing. Ear pleasing.
Which is good news. Good news because this microphone costs about a quarter of what this microphone costs.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Right? Although that is on Amazon right now because it's a lot more expensive in other places. But
it's under Donald Trump.
Anyway, so that was really exciting, wasn't it?
That was awesome.
I got another microphone. And I can't tell you why. Let's listen to this Alec Baldwin stuff.
Not in any violent or unlawful way, but it must be overthrown nonetheless. Let's make America great again by making Donald Trump a casino operator again.
And that was not Saturday Night Live. That was Sunday Night Live up in New Hampshire as Alec Baldwin, frequent critic of the president, took to the stage to talk politics.
Fundraising dinner for New Hampshire's Democratic Party. There were 800 people there, and he said he flew there the day after Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, so he does. He plays the president on television. Yep. Then he flies down there.
It was only supposed to be three episodes.
Right, it was supposed to be three because he thought he was going to lose. And then he Donald Trump won, you heard, because of the Russians. Of course, and we'll prove that a little bit later in the show. But how unbelievable is it that the people that the Democratic New Hampshire fundraising arm thought that Alec Baldwin, although a big name, would have the right message. Do you think that's the right message for Democrats to overthrow the government?
Let's talk to this guy, Dan Bongino, former New York City cop, former Secret Service agent, author of a great book. It's called Spygate, The Attempted Sabotage of Donald J. Trump. So
I wonder where he's going to come down on this.
I'm already sick.
He's one of yours, Kareem. So, you ready?
Yeah.
So, Dan, when you had Alec Baldwin there speaking in front of all those Democrats, when he said overthrow Donald Trump, there's a big cheer. What's going on with that?
Yeah, I don't know who I'm more embarrassed for, Alec Baldwin, or as you guys just said, you're right, the Democrat Party up in New Hampshire. You give this guy a platform and he does that? I mean, if I were to suggest that, which I never would, God forbid, on your show right now, you guys would cut this feed, rightfully so, immediately. And by the way, how is there a lawful way to overthrow the government? Baldwin is a deranged lunatic, and he's not even that bright.
Said the man from NRA TV.
And y'all say, wasn't they lobbying for overthrowing the government under Obama, like, for 8 years?
Yeah.
That's all he said, man. Like, they tried to say that, like, normal military, drills and whatnot were preparing for, like, the race war. Oh my God! Do you guys remember that when in Texas they had that thing and like they were trying like there's a thing that was like oh this is the government getting ready to anyhow Alex Jones was talking about it.
It was a thing. It was totally a thing.
Oh my God, man!
All right, we're running woefully late, so let's get to white ladies calling the cops.
Oh yeah, this is a long piece today. I'm sure.
No, it's only a couple. A black man arrived to the entrance of a building where he lives in St. Louis late Friday night, only to find himself blocked by a white neighbor lady who demanded proof that he lived there. Oh, boy.
You should. Why don't you have Ludacris Move queued up on his thing?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, can we rewind it and start the segment again?
No, well, we can hear what it sounded like when it all went down.
I can. Okay. Do you live here?
Yeah, I'm answering that question. Excuse me.
I'm sorry. The keypad is right there.
I understand that, ma'am.
You can film me. That's okay. Fine.
I understand, ma'am, but you're blocking me.
Into my building.
Okay, and it's my building as well, so I need you to get out of my way.
Okay, what unit?
I don't need to tell you that information. So excuse me, ma'am.
I'm uncomfortable.
Okay, you can be uncomfortable. That's your discretion. You're uncomfortable because of you. I need you to move out of my way, please.
No.
Ma'am, please stop touching me.
I'm not touching you.
You just was previously.
Before. I'm not touching okay. you at all.
So I'm going to step in.
I'm not touching you, and I'm not in any way doing anything outside of letting okay. my dog go to the bathroom.
Okay. And I live here, and you're blocking the door.
What
you
unit?
In? I don't need to tell you that. What unit do you live in?
307.
Okay. Great. I'm on the fourth floor. Excuse me.
No. You don't have a key fob. You are... No.
No. No.
Ma'am. If you have that, then okay.
Ma'am, you're not security. You're not the property manager. You're not
no,
Mike Herman.
No, but I live here.
Okay, and I live here too. You're not Mike Herman. You're not Rick.
I don't like the fact you have your phone in my face.
Okay, I don't like the fact that you're blocking me for where I pay.
All I'm asking is what unit.
But you're not, I don't.
So when he said Mike Herman and Rick, that lets you know that he knows who the two property managers are.
Right.
She didn't say, who are they? She didn't say, I don't know who they are.
She, no, she was in her game.
Yeah.
She was in a game. She wasn't going to let him in. She's now been fired.
She should
rightly
be.
So.
From her job.
As a property man, like working for a property management company.
Mm-hmm.
That's minority owned.
Oh, yeah. So her employer, Tribeca STL, which manages real estate elsewhere in the city, said in a statement on its website that it had reviewed the video and fired her. They do not own the building where the incident happened. The statement said the Tribeca STL community is the Tribeca STL family is a minority-owned company that consists of employees and residents from many racial backgrounds. We are proud of this fact and do not and never will stand for racism or racial profiling at our company.
Man, that's what she... I mean, like...
Okay, now it doesn't end at the door.
Yeah.
About 30 minutes after he got into his unit, a police officer knocked on his door and told him that Ms. Mueller felt uncomfortable about him being there. He said he told the officer that he was renting the unit and had shown Ms. Mueller his key fob. Didn't we just have a Dallas cop walk into the wrong apartment and shoot a black guy in his own apartment like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And like, no, like the tapes, nothing, like, now everyone called, nothing's been released yet on that.
Yeah. So why? Yeah. So as a police officer, one, why did she still call the police after he unlocked the door with a key?
Because she felt uncomfortable.
That's one. And two, as a police officer, why are you at his door when he's clearly in his own place?
He's in his own place. Someone else felt uncomfortable. Now, did she say that he threatened her? I mean...
That's entirely possible.
But... That's not what he said the cop said. The cop said that she was uncomfortable. And he rightfully said, well, that's on you.
That's your problem.
That's your problem. That's you. Meanwhile, in Brooklyn...
Oh, man, this bitch.
A white woman called the police on a 9-year-old boy for touching...
My house is like...
Sorry. It's a Prop 8 ad. God damn it.
Oh, man. Fuck these fucking ads.
This woman was captured on video calling cops on a 9-year-old black child who she claimed grabbed her butt in a Brooklyn bodega, an accusation that outraged locals and caused the kid to burst into tears. Because he's 9.
And he said, I don't forgive this woman.
Well, let's take a listen to the... I will mention this for reference. The kid walked in. His mother was right behind him, like literally, her hand was on his shoulder.
Yeah,
when they walked by this lady, and she felt something touch her butt. Turns out when they looked at the surveillance video, oh, it was his backpack.
Yeah.
Which, of course, feels just like a 9-year-old's hand.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm right down the block. I can go inside.
What happened? white lady calls the cops on a black lady. I get it. They're videotaping.
Did you hear her? Yeah, yeah, calling the cops on a black lady. I get it. Now, you can call the cops on black people if they're committing crimes. If they're actually threatening you, it's still okay to call the cops on someone, even if they're black. You can't just call the cops on black people because they're black.
No. Corner
Store Carolyn, as she's dubbed a minute and 11 seconds into the video. So that continued.
Until the cops showed up.
Until the cops showed up. By the way, check out the Daily Show from Monday. Okay. Because Trevor Noah does a beautiful job laying this whole thing out and how big of an overreaction this is. Like, you know, at one point he says, I was on the subway and a little kid grabbed my pant leg.
Yeah.
What the normal reaction is not to go, I was being sexually assaulted.
You saw her reaction after he walked by, right?
Yeah.
Like she did the whole hip thrust thing.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Yeah.
The whole thing was very weird.
She has some issues.
Clearly. But I urge you very much to check out the Daily Show from Monday. This segment in particular.
I'll watch it tonight.
All right. So, I did not know this was going to be an issue. I did not know that Charlemagne the God, I couldn't pick him out of a lineup, by the way. Not that he'd be in a lineup because he's black and a criminal or anything. It's just an expression.
Right.
Just to be clear.
Yeah. If you saw him and a bunch of other guys and you're just like, pick out the one that's Charlemagne the God.
Not a clue.
You're like, that's that. White guy with the beard that has the God on his forehead.
I know that's Cedric the Entertainer. I don't know. Is one of you Tyler the Creator? How about Dave the House Painter? I don't know what
Bob
this... Bob the Plumber.
It's an oldie but a goodie.
Jesus Christ. Anyway.
There's another one. There's another guy in the lineup.
Charlemagne the God announced that his New York Times event with pro-Trump rapper Kanye West has been scrapped. Mm. In an Instagram post, the radio host explained why he canceled the event, saying, quote, normalizing the mentally healthy is a conversation that I really wanted to have with Kanye because he's been so vocal about his own mental health struggles. Unfortunately, I think to have that conversation with him right now would not be productive and a total distraction from the point of the convo, which is to eradicate the stigma of mental health, especially in the black community.
Good for him.
Good job.
If only the president of the United States had the same good sense.
We are not normalizing bullshit.
No. Well, here's the thing. If you're off your meds, you're not going to be able to have the necessary conversation.
No, you have to be restrained, given your meds, and then... when you get to that point, there's a certain point where, like, you're going to hit bottom, and, like, it's either with or without drugs, but, like, it's, if you're mentally ill like that, like, the sad thing is that he has a lot of money, so he's going to be able to be kept in that state and what he needs to do to feed on himself for a long, long time. And then he's going to be discarded, and he's going to be living by the Sacramento River in 50 years. Yeah, well, I mean, Sacramento Ocean.
Well, his wife also has a lot of money too. So,
but yeah, but I mean,
yeah, but she's going to get conservatorship over him, and she's going to take all his shit.
Yeah. But she has more than he does.
That way, it doesn't matter to her.
Yeah. Just saying.
It's sad because I mean, you can see this. This it's just sad. It's sad.
Yeah. Let's hope he focuses away from Wakanda and a little bit more on getting his head straight.
I don't know. I read this thing where he talked about like his mom and him and talked. This was a long time ago, where he was. They said that he was manic depressive, which is bipolar,
mm-hmm.
Or used to be diagnosed that way, and they made a decision for him not to be on his medication because he didn't feel that he was creative when he was on it. So, like, that's how long this has been in the making of, like, getting to this point.
Well, and
that's the...
And correct me if I'm wrong, Kareem, there's a bit of a stigma in the black community about being on medication.
Yeah. But, okay, so I had this conversation with some people the other night. Okay, so here's the deal. So Kanye came through with a group of... When he first started, he came through with a group of rappers or musicians. So he came through with Mos Def, Talib Kweli, The Roots.
John Legend.
What all of these people have in common is their parents in common. Their parents were pretty much academics.
Right.
Questlove's dad was a musician, but this whole group was pretty much a group of academics. Or, you know, had been raised by academics. They've all embraced that fact and moved forward in music with that as their foundation.
It's okay to be smart.
It's okay to be smart. So therefore, none of them have had any of these issues. Kanye has fought this the whole way, that this is who he is. He wanted to be somebody other than who he was.
Right.
He's like a preacher's kid that wants to be something other, that wants to prove that he's not the goody two shoes because his parents were. That's what he is. He's a preacher's kid. He's a PK.
Yeah. And I don't think it helped that his mom passed away
the
way she did so suddenly.
Right.
And that, I think that was probably the thing that kept him.
Oh, grounded for sure. That was the thing that kept him on the right of like, hey, you need to refocus. What would Jesus do?
No,
like,
well, the other thing. I mean, like, maybe no. Well, the other part of that is when Jay-Z and Dame Dash split.
Yeah,
Dame Dash is. I keep telling Dame Dash is that person who would have pulled his card. And they would have been like, "Look, dude, you need to get your shit together." But when they split, he went with Jay-Z instead of Dame Dash, and Jay-Z's not the pull your card dude.
No,
he's not to pull your card, dude. Dame Dash would have had him like jacked up in a corner. Like, look, nigga, you need to get your shit together. That's really who he needs right now. But because that split went the way it did, he doesn't have that relationship with him now.
He doesn't have to put yes men.
Yeah. So that's.
And the Kardashians.
Yeah. And that's the other part of that the equation. And I felt bad for him. And I made excuses for him for his mother passing, probably up until a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean,
every time we brought him up, I've brought up the fact that he hasn't been right since his mom passed. He doesn't get that pass anymore.
Well, here's the thing: you're never the same when you lose someone close to you. There's always going to be that hole to an extent, but at a certain point. And it's a slow process over time. You have to get yourself back into the proper state of mind.
Yeah.
And as someone who has full access to health, medication, relaxation time, retreats, spas, rehab, whatever he would need, to not do that is a disservice to himself and to the people that care about him.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about fans. I'm talking about his family and his friends, the people that actually care about
him. I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, his fans are, in a way, like, just as, I mean, because I've always, like, I've been a fan of his music for a long time. And, like, his album, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, is, like, a perfect album. Like, it's really an amazing album. And, that you can go track by track and just talk about how amazing and like what he did on each track. However, like he locked himself up, like he was in Hawaii for 18 months, like, and all he did 7 days a week was work on that album and call people up in the middle of the night and be like, yo, I want you out here for 2 weeks, 3 weeks to work on this piece. And they would come out there for 3 weeks and they would just say that he would work like ridiculously. Like they would take 2 hours out of the day to go play basketball with the kids at the YMCA down the street. Like that was kind of like the relaxation time, but like six, seven days a week. It's all he would do. And he would be up all night. And that's manic. That is manic.
That's the mania.
And so he was in that for 18 months. Bro, like he's in that for 18 months just doing that. So like, but we got an amazing piece of art. Like we got like the penultimate album that you can expect from an artist, where it's just like, wow, I can't believe that shit happened on that. And we eat it up and we love it and we're like, we want more of it. And that's, it's in a way, it's like, you know, we're supporting the drug habit. So yeah. But yeah, how do you get a guy like that help? How do you get somebody help that doesn't want it? You don't, and then you just have to drop him.
Yeah, it has to start with his wife.
Yeah, and she's probably the most self-centered person on the planet.
No, she's stopping. She's not taking selfies anymore, Kareem, and I think that's
taking selfies next week. Well, look, no. She's not taking selfies because they're in Uganda.
All right, it's time to get the heck out of this show. People in Plattsburgh are still angry. Speak Out was so big I had to split it into two.
Oh, my God.
Part two will be on Friday. Hey, we are staunch believers in recycling as much as we possibly can. We faithfully shred all of our shreddable paper, not just the personal documents. It is therefore disheartening to go to our local county convenience station and see the bags of shredded paper sitting in the rain. The paper gets soaked and is then buried in the landfill with the rest of the trash. The county should demand otherwise from Casella. You mean the mob? Good luck. Hey, when are people going to wake up? America is recovering from years of mismanagement and now has just become an uncivil civil war again. Work together for better, not protest and fight just because of what your political party tells you to do. Wake up, see reality, and try for the better.
Says the Republican.
Hey, whatever happened to the recently purchased Star Chase tool that helps prevent chases and uses GPS to locate a vehicle once the vehicle is stopped? The suicide and the two people who were injured in Scroon Lake shouldn't have had to endure this. I don't know what Star Chase is.
What?
I don't know. I don't know what any of this is. And finally, this correspondence is in reference to the gentleman who had the fortune of raising all the alms for the Nicaraguan people in need.
That's very...
I don't know where this one's going, but it's starting out with the Nicaraguan people in need. So, all right, let's see where this takes us.
Mm.
Although very commendable and surely appreciated, however, has this man ever stopped to think that there are many thousands of people living in poverty as well as starving children throughout our great land? Perhaps that money could be put to good use for his fellow Americans. No?
Like, what do people want you to do, man? Like, do you want me to give money to these people so they can have a better life in the country that they live? You know, or do you want them to come over because they're in a war zone where, like, when is it okay to give them the money? Like, give people, like, oh my God, man.
Look, they're angry, they're writing in to Speak Out.
Fuck them.
There you go. All right, that's going to do it for us. I'm not really sure what's going on with Amazon. I got to change some stuff around. Click the tab still if you're shopping Amazon. Up the top of NateDarlingShow.com. I'll get it figured out.
It's not working.
They changed the way they do stuff. So it's a bunch of bullshit virtual paperwork I have to do now.
Sons of bitches.
There's another podcast that I listen to that they've dropped their Amazon affiliation.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep. So I don't know. We'll see where this all goes. If I have to do a lot of work, I might do some, might be ringing in some other things.
Oh.
So we'll talk about those when they come around. But in the meantime, go ahead and click the Amazon link. It won't hurt anything.
Yeah.
We're back on Friday with another fresh new episode for you. By the way, this is G-Eazy. Mm-hmm. Not Jeezy, G-Eazy. I don't know any of these people. I mean, I catch TMZ every now and then, and I'm like, oh, that's G-Eazy.
Yeah. Probably what you expect.
I'm out of the demo, man. I'm not in the demo.
Yeah, me neither anymore, man.
Not for me. Coming on Friday, what happens when the gingers take over?
Uh-oh.
And we'll check in with Coach Dave.
Coach Dave,
he's got some thoughts.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, about white Christian men being sexually profiled.
Get the fuck out of here.
You have a great couple days. We'll see you back here on Friday. Bye-bye, everybody.